It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the New York Yankees official podcast.
That's one of the cooler things from my perspective is just the names that you're associated with as the list gets shorter as you climb. So that's the goal, you know, get the short list of names and keep climbing. Things can line up on paper and just not turn out, and vice versa. So the page is turned, and you know, we got the youth movement now. So, you know, you let them play it out and let them develop and, you know, go through the hardships of the game and turn into the great players that they'll be. There's no too short, no too big, and that's with height and body composition. Well, ring is always the goal, and especially here, it's the top of the top. Everything is built towards that. Everything is a process to that.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the New York Yankees official podcast. I'm John Schwartz. I'm the deputy editor for Yankees Magazine. Joining me over the Zoom line, we have our executive editor, Nathan Makaborski. What's going on, Nate?
Not too much, John. How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, Nate. I'm here with a public service announcement that if you're enjoying some time with friends by a fire pit, walk alongside the fire pit. Don't accidentally walk into the fire pit. But other than that, no real complaints here. But Nate, I think it's a interesting time to check in on the beginning of the offseason. Free agency started this week, and the Yankees had some pretty interesting news come through. We have some award winners. We have some award finalists. And we also, though, before we get to that, have a cool interview with Giancarlo Stanton that I'm excited to get to run.
Yeah, I'm excited for the listeners to hear this one. Giancarlo's a guy that we don't often get to hear from at length. So it's a pretty cool episode.
So why don't we get to the interview first, and then Nate, you and I will discuss some of the other news going around. So in the meantime, here is Giancarlo Stanton. Giancarlo Stanton, welcome to the New York Yankees official podcast. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
So one of the last guys we had in here was Anthony Volpe. And I think there's about a foot difference between the two of you guys. Not to make what you do sound easy, but it is easier for me to understand how you crush a ball over the wall than it is when I watch him do it. Do you ever think about some of that? Like, you guys have the same job, but everything about you looks different. It's kind of a fascinating thing about baseball, right?
I think that's an incredible thing about baseball, though. There's no too short, no too big, and that's with height and body composition,
yeah,
as it seems. Yeah.
Baseball broadcasts, obviously a lot of it is hyperbole. A lot of it is, man, you'll never see that again. Man, I've never seen that. But the reality is when you come to the plate, nobody hits the ball harder than you. You are the hardest hitter in Major League Baseball history. That's got to be a pretty surreal thing to know that of all the people who've done this, no one has been recorded doing it harder, more consistently than you.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, I know things weren't as advanced prior to me playing, so you can't really compare to the older guys, but
I think we can pretty much assume.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool thing. It's cool to see in every ballpark now, just those metrics for everybody, you know, for fans.
Is there one, because your homers look different than everyone else's, you know this, obviously. Is there one of them that stands out in your brain as just like, oh man, that was I really got that one.
A few in the old stadium, back in Florida Marlin days. That, you know, so a little before the metrics and all the HD video, I'd say, that you can go get. But yeah, there's a good amount over the few years.
What does 400 mean to you? I mean, round numbers are special. It's cool, but each time you get to a new milestone, now the people around you, the crowd gets smaller in a sense each time.
Yeah. That's one of the cooler things from my perspective is just the names that you're associated with and how, as the list gets shorter as you climb. So that's the goal, you know, be on a get the short list of names and keep climbing.
I always find that to be a fascinating thing about the Yankees because, and this is, I promise this is no knock on the Diamondbacks. This is no knock on anyone. But when you're comparing yourself to, if you're, you know, setting a Yankees record, the guys that you're beating out for that mark at your position are usually named Babe Ruth or, you know, things like that. It's a little different in some other franchises. That really must, how does that get driven home to you here sometimes? What is it just looking at the pinstripes and knowing about it? Or are there other ways that it hits you?
Yeah, I mean, legendary names, names that help build the status of this game, you know? So it's always cool to be in the same breath as some of these guys. And yeah, I mean, the Yankees are one of the most storied franchises in all of sports. So that's what always makes it emphasized.
And one of the cool things, though, is there's a flip side to that, too, because baseball's life cycle is such, you know, you can hit your 400th home run. And then just a couple days later, the next day, Jason Dominguez comes up here and hits his first home run in Yankee Stadium. And that moment is incredibly special in very different ways, but you get to see it all in a sense. Those things can happen simultaneously.
Oh, yeah. So you have a circumstance like that. And then you have across the way, like Miggy Cabrera.
Because that was the same weekend. Yeah.
Same weekend. First home run at Yankee Stadium and last time ever playing at Yankee Stadium. So that's the beauty of it.
You got, some of the new blood that came in here. I know everyone's been clamoring to see a guy like Jason for a while. You get a front row seat, obviously, for that. What are he again, as a guy who shaped differently than you in some ways, but what similarities do you see in him? What do you recognize in him from what you saw as yourself as a 20, 21-year-old?
Well, we both came up when we were 20, so, you know, the lights come fast. And he was in double A earlier this year. I came straight from double A, so, you know, it's cool to see, you know, that happen however many years this is after that. but yeah, just how comfortable he seemed. Just it really seems like he understands that this is still the same game he's played since he was a little kid, still a kid, you know, but just no moment is too big for him.
You are far from an old guy, obviously. Do you feel like this game ages you weirdly? Because you're talking about a peer of yours, but you're talking about him like a little kid. But, I mean, you're 33, right?
Yeah.
Let's not act like you're retiring or anything like that.
Oh, I know. I feel like old in this game is right about where I am. Now, and for this game, you know, I feel like when I was 20 coming up, it was a little older. I would guess that the numbers would say the same, that there's a lot less 37 plus year olds now than they were then. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm old, but I've just been around for a while.
In a lot of ways, both for you but for the team, this has been just, like we said, a weird season. It's a lot of struggles in different ways. What are some things that you see, whether now or that you saw earlier in the year, that you have used maybe as a means of understanding some of what's been happening?
That's part of
I know, it's every day, right?
What's so interesting about this game, you know, the things can line up on paper and just not turn out and vice versa. So, you know, the page is turned and you know, we got the youth movement now. So you know, you let them play it out and let them develop and, you know, go through the hardships of the game and turn into the great players that they'll be.
I try not to, I mean, a lot of things that are said, whether after a game or whatever, we put a lot of microphones in your guys' faces and, you know, we expect that everything that you say is exactly how you're feeling in that moment. One thing that stuck out with me that you said this year, and I wonder how, because this was a few months ago, and I wonder how you feel now. You said in April it was unacceptable that, you know, you were not able to be on the field at that point. And that's a different way that I feel like I hear a lot of players talk to themselves. I'm curious, 5 months later, what exactly you meant by that and how you are using that as you get ready for 2024 and beyond. Because, like I said, I mean, you're 33. You're not a 50-year-old guy. You know, yeah. You want to make sure you have more baseball in front of you. How do you go from saying it's unacceptable to then what comes next? How do you fix that in a sense?
You got to have a full season. You know, this team, this city puts a lot of faith in me to produce and be out there. So when I'm not able to do that, I'm letting all of them down, as well as the disappointment for myself of all the work that I put in to still have to, you know, be down a month or two during an important year. Every year is important. So during an important year, important time, and significant to any playoff push. I mean, you know, you miss 6 weeks or so, whatever it was. And, you know, I could have impacted enough games to be in a better spot for the playoffs during that time. So it all comes back around.
How different is your off-season regimen from your in-season regimen?
It's a little different because of how much the volume of the games and everything. But you always prep, you make adjustments to be able to counteract the things that have happened, what's going on with your body, and, you know, to try to come form to be out there.
I have to imagine all homers feel good. If you're going through a slump, if you're having a difficult week or whatever, how much better does the homer feel when you connect with it?
It can, you know, silence a few things if you aren't feeling too well or you've had a bad couple days or weeks or whatever. But as long as it puts us in a good spot to win, that's when it's even better.
I personally was thinking a lot about this last year as Aaron was hitting. Boom, 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 boom. There are no, you can't have a selfish home run. You can't pursue, you know, baseball stats selfishly in a sense, because the home run, obviously, it puts you in a better position to win in a sense. When you're going around the bases, when you're watching the ball, even though it's out of there in a millisecond, what's in your mind in those moments? Are you just, you know, thinking about the pitch you got, thinking about what you saw, thinking about maybe the next time, or are you just breathing deep and feeling good because this one worked?
It's all different. It's all different dynamics of the game, the importance of it, your mindset for that at bat. Did you react to the pitch? Was it what you were sitting on? Was it what you expected? You know, a lot of things come for whatever home run that is, which also makes it cool. They're all different. They're all going to a different spot, a different speed, height, and all that. So they're all unique.
I was, I think like a lot of people, I was very moved and impressed. In 2020, when you were speaking out in ways that, not putting words in your mouth, it didn't seem easy for you immediately. It didn't seem like a natural thing necessarily for you to do. Talking about, obviously, the George Floyd situation, the Breonna Taylor stuff, everything like that, and really trying to speak eloquently and powerfully. And I know from speaking to people that it did have a big impact on your teammates, and I know that, you know, the message was heard in a lot of ways. What did you learn about yourself there, maybe, as you chose to confront that more publicly than maybe you had previously?
I mean, it wasn't really about me. I mean, it was just getting an understanding out there and trying to send a message and, yeah, more of an understanding to the people around me, teammates, and, you know, whoever's a fan listening, not a fan, just get the message out there.
And obviously, I mean, look, part of speaking truth is that there are going to be people who don't want to hear it, but what was some of the positive response that you got? What were some of the things that you heard?
A lot of thank yous on the side, a lot of pull to the side, and, you know, thank you for saying that. Thank you for speaking out for us and, you know, being our voice that we weren't able to reach, and you know, a lot of positives, negatives as well, but that comes with everything, and you just got to understand and know it's the right thing and push forward.
It's 3 years ago now. You weren't obviously speaking for the sake of speaking. You were speaking because you wanted to see some changes made, both societally, but also in the game and everything like that, and the people around you. Is there progress you've seen in ways that are meaningful to you, or do you feel just still stuck in some of the same places that you were then?
I think it's definitely more understood now, and just people are more aware, you know, actions and their words and how far they can reach and the impact both ways. So I think it's in the right direction.
This is now, I think, if I'm doing my math right, which I probably am, 6 years that you've been playing next to Aaron Judge. What impresses you the most about him? I mean, if you had to pick one thing that you just look at him and find really special.
He makes everything seem easy. Like, you know, going through a tough time, it's just, oh, whatever, you know, he'll figure it out. He'll do it. Being the best player in the world, it's like nothing. You know, everything is even keel, and you know, he's perfect for this role, perfect for, you know, the captain of New York and the Yankees.
So no hard feelings from the 2017 Home Run Derby?
No, I didn't. I mean, we weren't even. I didn't even get head to head with him. So you know,
that was your party.
Yeah, it was.
So I remember talking to Mike Batesall, the baseball coach over at Fresno State, and one of the things he said about Aaron was he was constantly just like fighting off the football coaches and fighting off everyone else. Like, no, this kid's mine. Obviously, I mean, you know, you had like three different parallel careers, kind of. You were pursuing in some ways, very Dave Winfield-esque. Mm-hmm. Do you ever think back on just the road not taken? Like, do you ever wonder, like, what would life have been like as a college football player? And then who knows?
Not really, just because of, you know, how baseball has gone. But I know that it would have been incredible to try to play two sports in college. It would have been hard for sure, but it would have been a great dynamic going back and forth. That was always the plan. Is I was young enough, and you know, if baseball didn't work out, I'd still go back and be able to play football. So yeah, definitely no regrets or what ifs.
I think your manager might have enjoyed seeing you catching fades in the LA Coliseum.
Oh yeah, definitely. You'd be on the sidelines giving high fives.
I mean, look, right now it's obviously Deion Sanders right now is getting so much. You know, there's people are so excited about him just as a football coach now. But I mean, for a while he was just that baseball player and football player, and made it look. It seemed impossible, but he made it look possible, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's something that definitely can't be done for more than a handful of years, in my opinion. And I don't think him or Bo played more than, what, 5 years of both, maybe?
Of both, yeah. I mean, not even.
Yeah. So, so taxing on your body and mind and travel schedule and all that. But so cool to do and to see. So cool to see.
I think the reality, as you pointed out, is an MVP, 400 homers, nice contract. I'm not suggesting for a second that we should go back and do a redo here. Is 500 on your mind? Do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, of course it's on my mind. Long way from it, but it is definitely in the cards, and yeah, something to push to and look forward to.
You've seen the October excitement here. You've seen the way fans can get behind winners here. How much does that drive you? I mean, I know that you're good at this because you're competitive. You're good at this because you're naturally gifted athletically, but also, you know, you're chasing something. You got to be chasing something. It's too hard to do this if you're not chasing something. How much do you think about that, of what the reward might look like?
Well, ring is always the goal, and especially here, it's the top of the top. So everything is built towards that. Everything is a process to that. And yeah, I mean, the process isn't complete until that is.
Well, make it happen then, Giancarlo Stanton. Thank you so much for doing this.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hi, this is Anthony Volpe. You're listening to the New York Yankees official podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Tommy Canely. You're listening to the New York Yankees official podcast.
Welcome back to the New York Yankees official podcast. Nate, you said it before we cut to the interview. That's really not a format we hear Giancarlo in that often. He's not a guy who we usually get a lot of long-form interviews like that. It was interesting to go back and listen to it because, look, it happened at the end of the season. Certainly, this was a frustrating season for a lot of people, and I'd put Giancarlo Stanton pretty close to the top of that list in terms of how he felt about the way things went. But he's always an interesting guy, I think. And I thought he was very open about some of the struggles.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I mean, look, we all know that this season didn't go according to plan for Giancarlo or for the Yankees. But, you know, I like that instead of, you know, harping on all the negatives from this season, you touched on a lot of the positive things, and just we got a little bit of insight into, you know, what his mindset is and where it remains. And, you know, he's a guy that always strikes me as, you know, he gets it. His some guys who have that sort of talent can get wrapped up in their own personal accomplishments and their own numbers and things like that. And he's got some impressive numbers on his register, but, you know, it's still always about winning, and it's always about chasing that main goal, which is a World Series ring. And he never loses sight of that, no matter if it's a good year, bad year, in between. And so I thought it was cool to hear from him in that regard.
Nate, I think that's such a crucial point, because I think sometimes maybe, and I'm certainly guilty of this, we get lost a little bit in our day-to-day of talking to Major League Baseball players. You know, the top, I don't even know what percentile. I mean, it's a percentage point, though, clearly. These are the guys who are the best in the world at doing this. But occasionally, you get to speak to a one-of-one. And what I mean is, you can talk to a lot of guys who hit a lot of home runs, but you can't talk to someone who's hit more home runs for an American League team in one season than Aaron Judge. He stands alone there. And same when I speak to Giancarlo Stanton, you know, you sit with him, whether you're standing next to him or you're sitting with him or whatever it is, you are talking to the person who hits the ball harder than anybody in the history of Major League Baseball. That's just a fact. And you can't talk to him and not have that be top of mind, just because you know it at all times. I mean, this isn't a normal, quote unquote, normal baseball player. This is someone who does something that no one else can do. And so, to your point, Nate, I think it does make a player like that maybe more confused, maybe more frustrated, sometimes more angry, when stuff that he is better at doing than literally anybody in history isn't working the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about one of one. It's not just the exit velocities on his home runs. It's literally, I mean, if Nelson Cruz is to be believed that he's retiring, you know,
he's the active leader.
Yeah, come opening day next year, Giancarlo Stanton is going to be the active leader in Major League Baseball in home runs. And, you know, I thought it was cool to hear him talk about 500, having, you know, just hit his 400th. You know, some guys would give you that kind of, you know, athlete cliche, like, oh, no, you know, I'm not thinking about numbers. And he was like, no, yeah, that's definitely on my mind. Like, he would love to get to that big round number someday, because, you know, it just further puts him, you know, ahead of the pack. And, you know, what he's accomplished in his 14 seasons so far, it's really remarkable. And, you know, he's, like you guys pointed out, I mean, he's not an old guy. He's still fairly young, 33. So, I mean, he could still have a lot more baseball left in him. And those kind of accomplishments are still well within reach.
I'm curious how you took his response to one particular part of the conversation, because, you know, I'll be honest, I wasn't sure. It was a lot going to depend on his mood if I went there. And he was in a good mood. And I thought he was, I think Giancarlo is, frankly, a really just good guy to talk to. He's really interesting always. It's not someone who you're so used to hearing that, you know, everything falls into cliche, but, you know, he was amiable and he was easygoing. And so I decided to kind of push in the direction that I found super interesting from early in the season, when he used the term unacceptable to describe the injuries. And again, if you listen to the interview, you heard me say this to him. There's a lot of comments that players make in the clubhouse in the heat of a moment that I don't think it's necessarily always fair to assume that this is exactly how that person feels. But when a player is saying that something's unacceptable, I was curious what he thought that means. And look, now it's November. Now we are well into, I assume players are still kind of in the, you know, ramp down a little bit before the ramp up starts, probably usually for most guys just after Thanksgiving. So you know, I don't know what Giancarlo is doing moment to moment, day to day right now. But it is, you know, something, if you look back to the 2023 season and the frustrations and the difficulties, you know, if you're trying to diagnose what went wrong as far as it pertains to the 2024 season, the answer is simply stay on the field. And I thought it was interesting to hear Giancarlo talk about what he meant when he said it was unacceptable. Because unacceptable to me means you're doing something to change it. And I liked hearing what he was talking about the ways that he wants to assess his whole body and his whole routine and everything this offseason, because he does believe that was unacceptable.
Yeah, I loved what he had to say, because again, I go back to the fact that he wasn't, you know, mad about not being able to, you know, chase a home run record or pad his stats. He was, you know, upset that he couldn't help the team. And, he said, like, basically, we could have been in a different position at the end of the year if I hadn't missed all that time. So, you know, again, the guy, he gets it. I think he has his priorities straight, and very refreshing to hear. I don't think it was, any of his answers were very like cliched or anything like that. I think he's a veteran guy who has seen it all and done it all in the big leagues. And to hear him address what was a down year, that honestly, I think was pretty refreshing.
And I think we've spoken about stuff like this too, in some ways. You know, part of our job, especially, you know, this time of year, as we're starting to think about 2024, you know, the yearbook and the magazines and all these things, this is not where you should come for the sourness and the doom and gloom. Like, look, we're going to try to find reasons to be excited here. And I think, you know, in a sense, Giancarlo Stanton is a perfect microcosm for that, because yes, he struggled. Yes, it was tough. And yet there were still those times when he would connect and you would see him do what you know he can do, which is put a ball into the seats in a matter of like nanoseconds, harder than anybody who's ever done it before. And so you know that's there. You know he can do it. You know he's obviously strong enough. You know he does have the bat speed to do that. And I think that if we want to turn the page there, we're coming off a couple of weeks now. The World Series is over. You know, we're now into this past Monday, free agency started. We're into award season. We've started hearing about some awards. And it's this weird time right now where we get to go back and kind of think about some of the positive things from 2023, such as Anthony Volpe winning a Gold Glove. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Such as Gerrit Cole being a finalist for the AL Cy Young. That's not a surprise. Frankly, you have to think it's just the beginning of the celebration of his pitching season. I imagine he will be the Cy Young winner, and certainly one that I think was really meaningful as we watched it unfold. Aaron Judge be named the Roberto Clemente Award winner for this year, appearing at the World Series to accept that award. Nate, you and I have both done a lot of work over the years with players and their charitable initiatives and all the things they do. And I can assure you from my experience talking to guys, the Roberto Clemente Award isn't just, you know, another one that they kind of put on their shelf and don't think about. The Roberto Clemente Award might be the most meaningful award to a lot of players, up there with things like MVPs and Cy Youngs.
I don't know if Aaron Judge has a trophy case in his house, but if he does, it's got to be awfully large and impressive. And to your point, I'm sure the Roberto Clemente Award will have a prominent space, you know, in that case. We were listening to Hal Steinbrenner's call with the media earlier this week, and you know, a lot of the reporters are kind of reflecting the feeling of the fans in that, like, they're wondering what changes are going to come. You know, what changes are you talking about behind the scenes? What changes can we expect in the near future here? And I'm sure there, you know, obviously there will be some changes. We already know that a couple, you know, coaches have you know, gone to other teams or whatever. So, but you know, just because you finished out of the playoffs doesn't mean you tear it all down and everybody goes away and you know, you start from scratch. The majority of the team is going to be coming back next year. So to your original point here, like, Giancarlo is kind of a microcosm of that, in that you know, next year we're going to see a lot of familiar faces, and we're going to kind of hope that they have a better season than they did this year. And you know, I have no reason not to think that that's not a possibility for Giancarlo. But yeah, I mean, with the awards, certainly exciting to see Anthony Volpe get the Gold Glove. I mean, how cool is that to see a Yankees rookie, the first Yankees rookie in history to win a Gold Glove award?
How is that possible? Doesn't that just seem impossible?
I know. They give away so many of those awards every year, but really tough. To come in as a rookie and all that's thrown on your plate, to have to adjust to life as a major leaguer, to be able to outshine your peers defensively is super, super impressive, especially at the shortstop position. So well-deserved for Anthony. Very exciting for the Yankees and for his future here. Cole, I mean, obviously, I think the only thing that would be a surprise would be if he didn't win it. He had just such a remarkable season, was such a workhorse for us. Very, I'm highly anticipating that announcement. And yeah, the Clemente Award for Judge. I mean, a huge deal to him, to his family. They put in so much work, you know, away from the field, putting it into the All Rise Foundation. Do so many great programs every year. Really, really well deserved. And you could tell how much it meant to him.
I remember back in the day, you know, when we kind of had 2 years, if you will, of a farewell tour for CC Sabathia. I think some of us weren't sure if it was going to be 2018 or 2019 when he said goodbye. And hearing the news that Judge won, I remember when I was writing about Aaron in the winter between the 2019 and what should have been the 2020 season, he looked to CC as such a role model, and just absolutely felt that, you know, he leaned on him when he was starting the All Rise Foundation, trying to get information for what he could do, trying to figure out the best ways to use his platform. And I mean, this might not be the best reaction to hearing the news, but Aaron, it just bugged me again that CC never won that award. You know, and CC was open, and CC's wife Amber especially was open. They really wanted that one. They really believed in it. They really wanted it. I thought for sure in his last season he was going to win it. You know, and it just goes to show you that, again, this isn't something that just is a throwaway announced and whatever, and, you know, yay, you're a good person. No, the players truly, truly believe in the message of the Roberto Clemente Award. And again, we've seen Aaron in action. We've seen the things he does when he's directly working on behalf of his foundation, directly working in the community. And we've also just seen the way that he can connect with every single kid, you know, near the stands or in the stands who wants an autograph. He can look them in the eye, and the way he's able to talk to these kids and everything like that. And he makes such a difference. And it's just awesome to see. It's one of those times where I feel personally, I'm wondering how you've feel. I think there are times when the line gets blurred a little bit between, you know, whether we're, you know, members of the media or Yankees employees. And, you know, there are definitely times when I feel like I'll be sitting in a press conference maybe, and I wonder if I'm hearing this person as a quote unquote coworker, or at least someone who works under the same umbrella, or if I'm hearing it as, you know, an unbiased media member per se. But, you know, when you see Aaron Judge up there getting that award, I felt really proud to be a part of the Yankees family on that day, because it's so important. There is only one winner for the whole league, and this year was a Yankee, and it was a Yankee who, in a short time in the big leagues, still a short time, I should say, has really proven that he has just so much that he can offer.
Yeah, it's an amazing accomplishment. It really is. And, you know, like any baseball player will tell you, like, you don't play for individual awards. You know, it's a team game, but when you do receive one, it really kind of validates a lot of things, a lot of the hard work and a lot of the sacrifices that you make to get to that level. And when it's the Clemente Award, and you know, you get to have your name associated with one of the legends of the game, not just for what he did on the field, but for the humanitarian he was off the field, it's really powerful. You know, I know I was in Pittsburgh last summer when the Yankees were there, and I know they all had a chance to go visit the Clemente Museum. And, you know, I watched Aaron Judge take BP with one of Clemente's bats and, you know, park a homer in the shrubs out there beyond the wall at PNC Field. So I know he feels a deep connection to Roberto Clemente, and just, yeah, like you said, I mean, it's kind of a proud moment for all of us to have that award go to a Yankee.
For sure. And you also touched on before when we were saying it, Anthony Volpe winning the Gold Glove. You know, look, I mean, it was an up and down season in a lot of ways for him, but there was so much positive there. The least of it being just the fact that he was a major leaguer for a full year. And you have to imagine, if you know Anthony Volpe at all, that, you know, there's not a minute this offseason that he's not thinking about anything he can do better for next year. But what a way to start. And look, I think everyone knows that he's a better overall hitter than he was at times this year. And I think we're going to see that. I mean, certainly the power was there, but I think we're going to see, you know, the average and everything like that improve. But, you know, defense is effort. You know, I think it's kind of as simple as that. You know, defense is, I don't think personally the defense changes that much you know, as you go from double A to triple A to the majors, I think that, you know, you're either able to do it or you're not. And he was able to do it. And he really showed just a commitment to being a big league shortstop for the whole year. And I'll be honest, at the beginning, I'm certainly not a scout. I don't have an eye, you know, that some of these people do. At the beginning, when Aaron Boone was really aggressively saying, you know, Anthony Volpe should win the Gold Glove, my initial thought was like, hey, that's cool that he's saying that about his player, but I don't know, man. Like, is that real? And, you know, you start looking at some of the numbers and you start seeing some of the way it's broken down. And, you know, when we heard it was Anthony Volpe, it was just, hey, man, that's amazing. Like, what a way to start. And if you're doing that in year one, what's next? It's pretty awesome to think. And again, it's pretty awesome to think at a time when I think most people want to forget most of the 2023 season, but this is a good reminder, like, hey, see the whole picture, see the whole board.
Yeah. I mean, think about it, you know, homegrown kid gets drafted, comes up through the minor leagues, makes the opening day roster here and plays damn near every day. I mean, it was like, I feel like we were halfway through the season before he finally, like, you know, had a day off. And you know, you talk about the effort that it takes to be a good defender, and like, you know, we saw it every day, not just during the games, but I mean pregame, like that dude is out there working his tail off every day. And you know, I think he would probably tell you there's still plenty of room for improvement. So you're right. I mean, he's a guy who loves to work hard in the off season, loves to attack his weaknesses. And I mean, you talk about what do we expect going forward. I think next year he could be even better defensively. I know, obviously, you know, he's has hopes and intends on improving at the plate. But like, you know, you could win a Gold Glove as a rookie and be even better in year two. I wouldn't put that past him.
So that's obviously an exciting thing to look forward to. Nate, there's just one more thing I do want to say before we send this one off, you know, and that is, he's not a member of the Yankees family anymore, I guess, but he always will be. And I know you and I both have had great experiences talking to, chatting with, relying on, getting help from Carlos Mendoza over the years. And I just you know, say this personally, say this, I think, as a member of the, you know, Yankees magazine family, I'm just so happy for Carlos Mendoza that as he gets a big league managerial gig, it's very exciting for him. Excited to see what he can do. And, you know, well-deserved. That guy has been just such a rock on the staff for so long, so many more years before he was on the big league staff. He was just, you know, toiling away and helping all of these guys develop. So very excited for him. Really just what a well-deserved hiring.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we've known for a long time that this day would come when we heard that, you know, some other team hired Carlos Mendoza away to be their manager. You know, I got a bunch of text messages from friends who are Mets fans wondering, you know, what's the deal with this guy?
Who is this guy? Yeah. What's this guy? Oh, he's great. Believe
right.
Me.
Yeah. I just, you know, I couldn't. I actually took a while I wanted to be able to like sit down and type out like a fully formed text message reply. Like, I didn't want to just say like, great hire. Like, I wanted to give the guy his due because he has paid his dues and has been such a valuable member of our organization for so long. I just told them that they should be really excited about it. It's a great hire. And yeah, wish him nothing but luck.
Nothing but luck. Nothing but the best. Great dude. Nate, that's going to do it for us on this episode. And you know, our next episode, which should have come out 2 weeks from now, but that's Thanksgiving Day. And I think that people have better things to do than hear us talk on Thanksgiving. So we will come to you 2 weeks after that with the next episode of the New York Yankees official podcast. But that means now is a perfect time to, Nate, just wish you an incredibly happy beginning of the holiday season, a happy Thanksgiving. And I know that I think I speak for you. You can correct me if I don't, but frustrating year, whatever you want to say. We have so much to be thankful for here, both for the things that we get to do and for the people who read and listen and support us and all that stuff, all that, you know, the fans do to make the New York Yankees relevant, to make the New York Yankees exciting and important in their own way, and to make the New York Yankees official podcast and Yankees magazine the same. So, Nate, I hope you have nothing but the best this Thanksgiving, and I hope that your table is full and your seats are full with people that you're excited to be around and all that good stuff.
Well, thank you, John, and the same to you and the same to all of the listeners out there and the readers for Yankees magazine. Know that we're working hard to bring you the very best that we can. So Thanks for sticking with us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Cheers, everybody.
Hi, this is Michael King. Thank you for listening to the New York Yankees official podcast. If you like what you've heard, be sure to subscribe at yankees.com/podcast or at the podcast app of your choice and tell your friends.
The New York Yankees official podcast is a production of the Yankees Magazine Podcast Network. It's produced by me, John Schwartz, with assistance from the entire team at Yankees Magazine, as well as incredible support from the New York Yankees Media Relations Department, in particular Jason Zillow, Michael Margolis, and Caitlin Brennan. Thanks also to our awesome social media team, Ryan Callahan, Julia Shore, and Alex King. If you're not subscribed, what are you waiting for? We're available wherever you listen to your podcasts or at yankees.com/podcasts. Leave us a review, leave us a rating. You can even send us your thoughts over email, podcasts@yankees.com. For more information about the stories we discussed today, visit yankees.com/magazine, where you can read all of our long-form content. If you'd like to subscribe to Yankees Magazine or purchase individual copies of the magazine, yearbook, media guide, or anything else, please visit yankees.com/publications or call us at 800-GO-YANKS. Of course, you can also stay up to date on everything happening here at the stadium by following us on Twitter @YanksMagazine or by liking us on Facebook @YankeesMagazine. That's it. See you next time, and go Yanks.